I'm Frank Vaughn. It's still April 21st, 2026, and Trump blinked again. Now, you might be tempted to say, thank God. Thank God the bombing campaign's not going to begin tonight. Well, that depends on one thing, and that is the Iranian perspective. Their restraint. At this point, maybe it becomes about not being the one to strike the first blow, because in the eyes of public opinion, that will be the more guilty party. But they have said that the blockade, which Trump has vowed to continue, is an act of war. They are correct, of course. Their ships, by technical legal definition, are being subject to piracy. Now, of course, here in North America, in the West, indeed probably in the entire world, doesn't want to say that. Because whether there's been pushback, Trump saying that Europe has not done enough to cooperate through NATO, pushback by other nations, in the end, what we're talking about is more sanctions for Iran. They're being treated as the aggressor. They're being punished as the aggressor. They're being treated as though they started the war when they didn't. But this isn't about what's fair and just, because we all know life is not fair. This is about springs being wrenched tighter and tighter and tighter. One of the springs is the U.S. military. Steady stream of planes for the last 2 weeks, transport aircraft streaming to the Middle East because the United States was not prepared to engage even in a conflict of this length, because heading into the war, there was no plan. And you can see that there was no plan. It's not just Frank Vaughn saying that. You read the patterns on the ground. They're not tea leaves. They're the realities of logistics. There's no 100,000-man army in place. There were barely any troops in place outside of what's regularly already there. They had to steam thousands of troops from Asia, thousands of troops from around the world, and they're still trying to supply those troops. They're bringing in reloads of bombs, whatever missiles they have, reorganizing their forces so that the next time, if there is a next time, there probably will be a next time, for the various reasons that I'm going to lay out in this video. But when there is a next time, if there is a next time, they can hit as hard as they've hit the entire war. Hit way harder with as many conventional weapons as possible, because I believe nuclear weapons are just, they're off the table. The administration might say they're on the table, but the nation, woe be to the nation that opens that Pandora's box, the first one who does. It'll change things in ways that I don't even know if I want to see. But that's a spring that's getting tighter and tighter and tighter. It means the amount of damage that the U.S. military will be able to deliver once the war resumes, over the few days or a week after it resumes, they'll be able to hit very, very hard. And knowing that they'll hit very, very hard, Iran will do what they can to strike as hard as they can at vital infrastructure. The oil infrastructure, the desalinization plants, you got to realize this. If the desalinization plants are hit in the Gulf, that's the end of those Gulf countries. They won't be able to exist. A lot of them have 90% of the people that are there, that are citizens, don't live there as a primary nation. A tenth of the population actually belongs there and was born there and would live there and can descend from families that live in these places. Simple things like food and water resources have to be imported from outside. And they can't replace those things. So the Gulf Arab states can be ended in a night. Much like Trump is saying, and threatening Iranian civilization, Iran has the capacity to end this current phase of Gulf civilization. And the damage for that would be laid in America's feet, because they started this thing. And after the billions I talked about in the last video, today, $142 billion for defense, that didn't work, leaky as hell, they paid for waterproof. What they got was Swiss cheese. That will all happen. The conflict, if it resumes, when it resumes, will resume at the level that it left off with, but with much more kinetic force. It won't be a graduation of escalation. We've had two strikes. You know, the third strike, you're out. Third strike, the war is uncontrollable. It just goes in whatever direction it goes in. It achieves escape velocity. And this is a spring that's it's gradually getting tighter and tighter and tighter. Just the U.S. military spring. The other springs. And this is the problem. Trump's got to get out of this thing. If it means leaving something on the table, and it will, there's no exit off-ramp here where the United States does not leave something on the table. Iran has them by the short and curlies. And that's just the way it is. The United States can blow up 13,000 buildings, far less than that, actually, can kill 4,000 Iranians, can injure 40,000 more. It's just a fraction of what it would take to wipe out Iranian civilization. And the cost that would be... Let's dial it back. Let's roll this back. Already, right now, with a blockade in place, Iran shutting down the strait, we have a fertilizer crisis at the same time as there is a drought in the United States. Oh, man. I don't even know how to convey to people. Because it's fine for me to understand these things. And it's fine for me to create a sense of security in my own life. But I want that for you as well. And I want that sense of security to come at you in a way that if none of this happens and the worst fears are not realized, it doesn't matter. It's no skin off your back. I'm not talking about life changes, talking about changes that you can make to just be a little bit more resilient so that you can more easily watch this happen. There's a fertilizer crisis. There is a drought in the United States. There are issues in agriculture all around the world. It's only April. They're predicting predictions and weather. You know how they go. But they're predicting a super El Nino. Whether that happens or not, I can't say. But I know what that spells out for the landscapes. Not so good for crops in North America. And the rest of the world's going to have the same problem. There's an oil spring, which we've all talked about. The spring is getting tighter and tighter and tighter as supplies are shrunk. Available supplies are shrunk. We keep watching the spot price, which is basically futures oil. But the actual physical cost of a barrel of oil when you go to load up at the terminal is the real price. It is far higher than the price that we're watching, that we're all talking about. I, as well as you. Sometimes in life, you know there's a better measurement. You know there's better words. You know there's a better solution. Or you know that words aren't proper. They don't rise to the occasion that you're trying to describe. But they're used in common parlance. And sometimes you got to bow your head to that. And that's why we talk about the oil spot price. But it's not the real price. And it's not the real supply problem. Jet fuel prices have doubled in Europe. Europe's in bad shape. It's so bad. Like, this is... The supply issue is so bad that the sworn opponent of the United States and Ukraine, because whatever inroads have been made diplomatically between the United States and Russia, it's all superseded by the fact that there is still support for Ukraine coming out of the United States, regardless of how it's been reorganized. Europe's paying for more of it, but that technology, that intelligence sharing, there's a lot that's still continuing. The enemy on the battlefield, you had to lift their sanctions again for another month to just try and keep oil prices lower. So your opponent is making bank as you try to figure out a solution and an exit for this battle that shouldn't have happened. It was the same situation with Iran, but that became untenable. Now the United States is trying to choke them off with this blockade, which they call an act of war. And their hand might be forced. They might have to strike first. I don't pretend to have a crystal ball to know how this is going to go. All I can say for sure is that the fertilizer crisis, the supply crisis, the chemical crisis, these are all things that are already going to happen. The damage to the global economy, they're already kind of baked in. Now it's just a matter of degrees. I said weeks ago, this thing has to stop now or the damage can't be mitigated. Well, we're past that point. There will be damage. And every single hour that goes by with the status quo being what it is, ships are not flowing through the Strait of Hormuz like they should be. Like, you're still creating, you're still into backlog. First, you have to match traffic that was going through their pre-war. You have to match it just to maintain your shortfall. And you have to exceed it. And again, there's limitations. You have port limitations. You have the fact that countries in the region have shut down portions of their production. And it'll take a while to turn it all back on. You have limitations in infrastructure in terms of how much supply you can deliver to the world. You can only ramp it up so far before you hit a ceiling. And that tanker backlog has to be worked through over time. Every hour that goes by, that backlog gets worse and worse and worse. Now, the world is scrambling to try and find alternative supplies, but this is tough stuff. Oil and energy requires infrastructure, requires planning. It's hard to turn on a dime. I keep saying this in my videos. I don't know if it's land. It's probably landing with most of you, the people I'm concerned with. You know the parable of the lost sheep? This is why I think I concern myself so much with people who completely disagree with what I'm trying to present. I'm way more worried about them than the sheep that I have. It's a bad analogy. I don't view you. I don't view the viewer as sheep. It's just, I think that's why I'm consumed with it. They're who I'm talking to. Hoping to try and reach them and make them understand who's been more right. Not just me, other people as well. Who's been more right since the start of this war, Frank Vaughn or Donald Trump? I think it's clear who. And that should lead you to lead yourself to prepare for when these tightening springs snap. Because even if one of the strings is springs is successfully diffused, think about it this way. The United States does what it needs to do, which is get out of there now. They leave the Middle East. They take the L. They leave something on the table. They do reparations or they do something. They make a deal to get the uranium, but they have to leave something on the table, and they leave Iran in charge of the Strait of Hormuz. That's about as close to the return to status quo that you're probably going to get right now, and you might get them to agree to that if the United States can negotiate. They keep talking about Iran needs to come to the table. The United States needs to show flexibility. They need to recognize that they're not holding all the cards. Don't know if this is within Trump's skill to do or within the skill of the people that are whispering in his ears, because we know the kinds of people that he's listening to. But if by some miracle that decision is made, the right decision is made, and the Americans walk away, there's the spring of the damage. Now, the political fallout, I've spelled out in many videos what I think is going to happen to the Republican Party. They get devastated. Maybe there's a chance to turn it around if the focus returns to the domestic agenda, but when the high prices for fuel end up being baked in for the rest of this year, when food prices really start to go up, like, I mean, really, worse than Biden-era inflation, when food prices start to go up because it is clear, this is what will happen. Contracts will be purchased ahead of time because people will see the rising cost. They'll see it ahead of time. There's still some doubt. The drought could break. Rain could fall. Pigs could fly. Fertilizer can somehow get where it needs to go, even though we're already almost into May now. I keep saying April. I think I'm actually clinging to April because I know what May means. As a farmer myself, at one time in my life anyway. That's not going away. But it can end up being so much worse. Like, it's not, this is not a simple problem that more bombs can solve. And every day, the ceasefire is unilaterally, one-sidedly extended by the Americans, by Donald Trump. It was he who blinked. It was he who extended. The Iranian said the ceasefire is up at midnight tonight. As far as we're concerned, we're back at it. That's their position. Trump said a deal is imminent. They will sign. It's going to be done quickly. The same thing he's been saying for the last 2 months. He said those things again and doubled down on it the last 48 hours. If you're paying attention, that's what his position was, and he said he's not interested in extending the ceasefire. That's what he said, and he said it over and over and over again on multiple media appearances, and here we are today. The ceasefire is extended, and there is no deal. At what point do you understand what he's doing amounts to gaslighting but it's scrambling, more importantly. It's trying to bend reality to fit the narrative that he needs to come out on this, on the back end of this, for political reasons. That ship's already sailed. The problems I'm highlighting here will manifest themselves, and they will be laid at his feet. And all that he can do, and all that anybody can do, is decide how you're going to deal with it. Are you going to deal with it honestly, or are you going to keep lying? Because lying ain't working. MAGA in America First is at risk of losing everything. The domestic agenda down the toilet. The needed domestic agenda. The thing that people voted for desperately needs attention. There's the North American agenda. There's the impending trade agreement with my country, Canada. And what that looks like, it's still 7% of the U.S. GDP is tied to Canada somehow. Death by a million cuts. I said this long before the war began when Mark Carney was installed as my prime minister. He's here to do his part. I also held out the option because he has his money in the United States. Maybe he thinks U.S. money will survive once the United States has been brought back in line. I don't know all the answers. I'm not there. I can't honestly have a conversation with Mr. Carney, but he came in here. He's managing the place. And it's one of the cuts of 1,000 different cuts that are surrounding the United States right now, and the Iran war is a big self-inflicted wound. It's like the bonus that the enemies of the Trump administration and the enemies of America, it's a bonus they're picking up. It's a self-own. It's an unforced error. And there's only one way to stop it. You have to stop forcing it. You have to stop self-owning. You have to own what you've done, and you have to walk away. Get out. And let the chips fall where they fall and just try to mitigate as much damage and try to prevent as much increase in magnitude of damage as you can. So I don't know, man. Am I happy the ceasefire has been extended? Oh, man, my feelings are mixed on it, because until you either have it snap and you go back to war, or you have it snap the other way, or you have it diffused by the United States taking the L, there's no resolution. The tension just keeps on building. The spring just keeps on getting tighter and tighter and tighter. And I don't know about you guys, but I like ripping the Band-Aid off quick. I like lancing the wound. I like getting the bad thing done. I hate pussyfooting around, and that's what this is. But I would rather this, I suppose, than the all-out war and the total erasure. Just about everything that would come if the fate is decided in the direction of more kinetic energy. I think I'm done now.